It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, we'll learn about highly successful restoration efforts for the trumpeter swans in our state.
First, documents obtained by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel show that the state's Public Records Board characterized the public record changes it made last summer as significant, even though the board told the public and news organizations that the changes, subsequently canceled, were not substantive.
Mary Spicuzza reported on the story, and she joins us now. She's a reporter who covers politics and breaking news for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Mary, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, what new information do we have about these proposed changes from the State Records Board last summer?
So it was interesting because when we first reported on these changes, there was a lot of pushback from state officials who said these are not significant changes. These were routine clarifications, just expanding an existing rule that dealt with transitory records or what records could be deleted or destroyed immediately. So what was interesting is we got, you know, hundreds of pages of documents, but one of the first ones I opened was an email from Georgia Thompson, who works for the board, alerting state records officers to what she called significant changes. So that just seemed contradictory to the message that had been going out to the public from folks on the board.
Would you consider that a reframing, then, of the way we had understood it, as, at least as far as journalists and the public had been given given information about that subject?
It seemed to really kind of reinforce the idea that these were indeed significant, sweeping or serious changes to what records could be deleted. And, you know, one argument that some of the records board officials made is that, you know, they made this change that was routine and then state officials maybe expanded on what they considered to be transitory and kind of went above and beyond what the board's plans were. But I think her email would indicate to somebody that, you know, at least she and some other folks on the board or state officials saw these to be significant changes and significant enough that they would kind of blast them out to state officials to let them know and to tell them that significant changes had been made. So it did seem to kind of reinforce the public's understanding that this was a pretty sweeping change.
And based on what you've read from this search of documents that you just got, what do we know about how long the deliberation process went and what that was like?
So in the emails and other documents that we got, we saw discussion dating back to early last year. So the decision was made in August, which has since been revoked, but the expansion of records that could be destroyed was made in August. And it looked like for weeks, if actually not months, that they had been looking at expanding this definition and that there was quite a bit of back and forth from state officials trying to decide how to define transitory records. And it seemed like they kind of, I don't want to say they struggled with the definition, but they certainly deliberated on how to expand it and seemed to, some of them raised concerns about the definition being too vague. So it did seem like there was at least an understanding that this is something that needed to be approached carefully and thoughtfully.
You see this as a disconnect between what the public was told about the significance of the changes and what the employees were told internally. Did you see any sort of deliberation about why there may have been that disconnect?
I didn't in these emails, you know, and we did read through hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents, but I really didn't see anything. I didn't see any indication that somebody was saying, hey, let's tell state officials this and public officials or you know, public this, state officials this, or any kind of, you know, direct planning on that, but it certainly did seem to be a disconnect. And, you know, from what I was told, even as we were writing our stories several months ago, there seemed to be a lot of criticism that we were kind of ginning up the changes to be more significant and more sweeping than they really were.
We're talking with Mary Spicuzza from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel right now. She's joining us to talk about the latest on State Records Board changes, which were proposed last summer and since canceled. And Mary, can you put this into a wider context for us? This subject of transparency in government and open records has been a very active one in Wisconsin. How do you put this in the context of what's happened in the last year or so?
Yeah, it was interesting to see. So there were about 1,900 citizens who wrote emails about these transitory records changes, which was pretty incredible that, you know, so many people would take the time to write about something that can be a little confusing, honestly, even to people covering it, of what transitory means, what records can be destroyed. And I think part of the reason that we saw such a public outcry was that this came on the heels of, you know, the Independence Day holiday last year during the budget, where leaders in the legislature on joint finance really made a last-minute change to the budget that would have, if it had been successful, would have really cut back on what public records people could get and how they could monitor what the government is doing. Those were sweeping limits on open records that, again, came under really withering criticism, and officials quickly backtracked. I think those were probably some of the most miserable 4th of July parades that some of those folks ever had, because they were really hearing from members of the public. So, you know, that was just last summer. Then this was in August. We had seen some of my colleagues at the Journal Sentinel reported just a few months ago about how the Department of Natural Resources had kept a do not respond list for citizens and activists who would write to the agency, where they were kind of blacklisted. And so I think that there have just been a series of concerns about government transparency and how citizens and members of the media can monitor and see how government is working and how decisions are being made. And I'm thinking that that's maybe why we saw some of the public outcry we did on transitory records.
There were those two twin outcries over access to public records last year, as you just outlined there. Where would you say that conversation is now in the state? I know the governor has weighed in on some procedural changes. Attorney General Brad Schimmel has had things to say about this. What is the new atmosphere about open records and transparency?
Well, the Attorney General has called for some stronger guidance about what records should be retained. He's urged officials to err on the side of openness and called for updates to the open records law to address some of these changes in technology. He's drawn criticism in the past for not releasing training videos. So he's, you know, had some criticism but has called for greater transparency. Walker also has drawn criticism for not releasing things that he said were kind of deliberative process records that he didn't want to release and that members of the public and media have been wanting and asking for. However, the governor did just do that executive order last month as part of Sunshine Week, calling for state agencies to handle public records requests more promptly, to better track them and kind of give more consistent guidelines on what people can expect in terms of costs and weights and things like that. So I think that at least we're hearing from the governor and state leaders that there are efforts to become more transparent, and we'll just have to see how those play out as we file more records requests probably.
And I know that technology has been a continuing part of this discussion as well, and how to handle things like text messages and email. Do we know anything about how those might be framed and handled going forward?
Yeah, it seems like every time you look, there's a new way. There's GChat or instant messaging or even apps that kind of like self-destruct messages. And it does kind of raise questions about what are we not getting. And I think that's part of the problem that some of the advocates that we've talked to have raised, is they raise concerns about how will we know what we're not getting, how will we know what's being destroyed. And so I do think that state officials and the Attorney General's office have said at least that they've discouraged public officials and state officials from using texts and kind of transitory things that could be transitory to do government business, or if they do, to somehow, you know, create a record by emailing them to themselves. But it does, I think all this new technology does raise questions about how state officials might be communicating that you couldn't track the way you could, you know, just get an email or a document as part of a routine public records search.
And Mary, just briefly as we wrap up here, have you heard from the State Records Board about your story and how they responded to it?
You know, we haven't yet, although my colleague Patrick Marley was heading to a meeting today, this afternoon, so I think that he probably would be the best person to ask, and I'm eagerly awaiting him give me a call to let me know how that goes.
Great. Mary, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Mary Spacuzza, reporter who covers politics and breaking news for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and she joined us there with the latest on state records board changes proposed last summer and since canceled.